Gary, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure.
Could you tell us a little bit about why you decided to write this book?
Yes, certainly. Look, I've worked in this area for numbers of years, and it is very concerning, this for young people and their inability to manage it. And we certainly wrap a lot of support around young people, but I guess I've seen the fear for one thing, the shame, the confusion for parents, and I'm not sure that we've always managed that well. Mm. I mean, rightfully, the young person should be the, we should wrap a lot of support around them, but not at a cost of losing the parents in that process too. So it was trying to look at what can we do for the parents.
I think that this is an absolutely wonderful idea. We do put young people, and as you said, they're rightly so, as the primary focus of a lot of our attention, but it is very important not to forget the parents who are also going through a hard time and who I think can be the most valuable resource for young people going through a hard time. I understand this book, you wrote it as a resource that's kind of easy to read and not overwhelming. Is that right?
Yeah, and look, I've tried to break it up. It's roughly only about 60 pages. It's into easy chapters, but it specifically addresses things like, what can I do to help my child? What is resilience? Where can we go for help? What is self-injury? Who's most at risk? What are risk factors? What are protective factors? So I've tried to make it as easy to read as possible. The last thing that parents need is a 250-page novel. Mm. That's quite difficult to get the information that they're after.
Mm. Which people are most at risk of these kind of issues of self-harm?
Yeah, certainly. And I had a little bit of trouble hearing you when you first went to air and were reading the statistics. I hope I'm not doubling up here. But, our statistics, they're quite difficult to get statistics because, A, it's not something that a lot of people want to talk about. And, B, in fact, young people, we know that only about 1 in 3 of them will ever tell anybody. So it's difficult, that statistic. So, but we estimate probably around 1 in 3 young women will self-injure at some stage in their adolescence.
Gosh.
And the stats will show that it's actually quite a bit deal less for young men. I think we need to question that. I think sometimes young men will punch a brick wall or punch a steel pole at the school where they're at, and they're sent to anger management. I think we need to drill down a little bit further and see whether that's actually self-injuring. First thing I'd say is we need to look at all young people, but if we're going to look at a specific group, it's those that have these feelings of severe loneliness and fear and anger, and that they have three things that sort of bob up to them. They have a great, when something happens, they have a very quick reaction, they have a very big reaction, and they take a long time in calming themselves down. In fact, that's one of the real issues, is that they don't know how to do what we call self-soothing, calm themselves in situations.
What role would you say parents play in all of this? In these days when we have things like social media and children aren't really ever left to themselves, there is no such thing as privacy really anymore when it comes to being a teenager and Facebook and Instagram and all of the kind of online realm. What role do parents play today? What role should they be playing today when it comes to self-harm and preventing that in our children?
Yeah, and look, I'd say that parents, self-harm is it's a physical act. And so we need to focus on what are the things that lead up to that rather than just that. Certainly what we do know, for example, is that parents are really significant in this. Even from a treatment point of view, we know that where parents are involved in the counselling process, the therapy process, the outcomes are so much better. As for what we can do to prevent it, it's listening to your kids. It's being there. It's making sure you don't do things for kids that they can do for themselves. I think we've got to the stage where we so much want a better life for our kids that we want them all to be winners all the time.
Mm.
It's not the case. And I think simple things like when I was a young fella growing up, we one night a week, we had no electricity night. So we played board games as a family. What did that do? That taught me patience. It taught me that you don't always win. It taught me that when you don't win, you have to learn to manage those feelings. You can't just throw a hissy fit or get really upset. But there are a lot of things that came from that. It showed me that my parents were interested in me. Those sort of things are really important from a family point of view of assisting a young person.
Do you think that that's something we're maybe neglecting these days?
Well, I think what can happen is that I think young people can get absolutely overwhelmed with information. I mean, I went to a lecture the other day, guest lecture that I sat in on, And they were talking there about the actual word suicide, that if you go back to the days before the internet, that sat in people's vocabulary at about age 14 to 16. They now estimated it's in the vocabulary of 5 to 6 year olds.
Oh, gosh.
You know, so we need to look at, you know, is it possible that, you know, and look, let's not attack the internet or social media. It is, I've got a lot of positives for young people. And in fact, certainly in counselling and therapy, I've actually used the internet and social media. Hmm. But there's got to be a balance in everything that we do. And I'd say to parents, you know, and this is probably what parents don't want to hear, to be honest with you, is I say to parents, one of the best things a family could do of a night is all put your mobile phones on the kitchen bench at 6 o'clock or 6:30 of the night, and they're all turned off.
Hmm.
Now that creates real challenges for families. But then families have to talk. They have to talk about how their day was, how they managed it, what was good, what they didn't manage so well. I think those sort of conversations are very important.
Mm, I think we're missing a lot of dinner table conversation these days. I think you have put together an amazing resource for parents. I hope that as many parents out there as possible read it, because this is something that is a growing statistic, unfortunately, and something that we really do need to tackle and really keep our young people safe. Gary, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining
us
this morning.
Could I get you to put your page details up? Or
I will indeed. We will pop it on the podcast at the end of the show. No worries. Thanks, Gary.
That's where people can get the information. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Gary.